non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Delusional is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
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 Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go in the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
No. When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. Coming at you guys from Phoenix, Arizona. This is the gospel heard around the world. You guys can get more content at ApologiaStudios.com. You guys can get over 200 of our past radio and podcast episodes. Just really, really helpful stuff that we believe will truly bless you and bless the church. I'm here today with Pastor Luke Pearson, the Bear.
What up?
And of course, we have next to me, Zach Attack.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Director of Communications at End Abortion Now. You guys can go to endabortionnow.com. You guys can get connected over there with your local church, and you guys can be a part of the ministry of justice and mercy at your local abortion mill and be a part of what many churches across the country are a part of now, and that is bringing the gospel to the local abortion mill. Saving lives, giving people the message of life there, providing for the needs of mothers and fathers really around the country. Just such incredible things happening. I know many of you guys listen to this episode or listen to Apologia Radio, and you listen to it for all the cultural engagement, the apologetics, the philosophy, the theology, all that stuff. But I really want to offer you this word of encouragement, just the stuff that God is doing in the world that is just so powerful, and it's not something we anticipated when we first got into this ourselves as a church. Just got word yesterday that one of the churches connected with End Abortion Now, a pastor with his local church, they're on their 139th save. That's 139 babies saved from this local church's work outside their abortion mill. Got word that a team up in Flint, Michigan is on their 41st save. So that is powerful. I mean, these are real lives transformed and preserved as a result of the work of local churches across the country. So you guys can do that yourselves just by going to endabortionnow.com. You guys can get the free training and free resources. I do want to point you there, too, because there is something we've mentioned before, and I really don't think that enough of us have used it. And so I just really want to ask you to consider just taking a few moments out of your day, go to endabortionnow.com. There's a legislator tab there where you can contact your legislator directly. Don't be afraid of that. Don't let that terrify you. You don't need to spend time writing up a whole letter and figuring out what to say. We already have a pre-made letter that really pleads with the legislatures to establish justice for the unborn and to take bold moves towards that direction, to call abortion what it actually is. And it offers your support to your local legislators. If they take bold moves. And so all you have to do is just put your name and address information in. You literally just click send, and this amazing service that we actually pay for, a pretty penny, believe me, we pay for this service. It just sends a letter directly to your district, your local legislature. And so it's a powerful tool. We pay a lot for that, and we do it because we think it's absolutely necessary that the legislatures around us all hear from their constituents that we will take a stand with them if they stand up boldly for the unborn. And so we really think that's important to do. So go do that, and encourage you guys to check out next week that this last episode we did this past Tuesday. It's up on our Facebook channel. That is Apologia Studios on Facebook and Apologia Studios on YouTube. We responded directly to Vice Media, Viceland's new season 2 of Hate Thy Neighbor with Jamali Maddox. They did an episode on us and our work, actually, to go save lives at the abortion mill. So they were out here, and that episode just finally dropped. Overall, actually pretty impressed with the episode in terms of the first half an hour.
Yeah.
They really let us get our position out there and let our arguments come out against the pro-choice position. But we did see where they were here. They were really struggling big time to find the story and, you know, how are they going to promote their worldview in the midst of this? And we knew that'd be difficult for them because we actually had Jamali on Apologia TV with us where we were able to engage with his worldview. And we knew they were struggling. And so they went a particular direction with it. I won't tell you what that was. I'll just tell you that we actually responded directly to it. And it is glorious.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. So go check that out, guys. So big things happening in the world around us. I just want to talk about the important things that we can all be a part of. We can all be praying for. So if you guys are faithful listeners to this show, you know that we have a dedication to seeing abortion end once and for all. We talk about it a lot because we believe that it is a significant issue where there is blood guiltiness in the land. There is a need for the church to rise up and to be salt and light in this area. It's a difficult one because our culture is entrenched in the culture of death. And so it's tough, of course, and I know we talk about it a lot, but I just want to let you know that we talk about it a lot because it is so vitally important for us to be involved in. I'll just give you the numbers real quick. If you don't know, if you're new to the show, over 3,000 children are going to die today by the end of the day. 3,000. That's in our country. Over 3,000. About 1,000 of those are killed by Planned Parenthood. And so that happens across the country on a daily basis. It's happening in a community near you or even in your community. And so this is a premier issue for us as a church. 60 million babies dead in our nation. And yes, there are explicit commands in Scripture for us as a church to rescue those who are being led to the slaughter. And so this, we believe, while not all of us are called to do exactly the same thing in this ministry to the unborn, all of us, I think, are called by God to be concerned in this area and to be involved wherever God grants us the ability to be involved. And so a big thing happening right now in South Carolina. Also, I just want to announce this to, so you can be in prayer for us. And I think it's a good chance to do this because we'll probably communicate with a lot of people here. So I don't want to delay the guests, but this is important. Next week, for about 6 months, I've had something in my mind that I wanted to do. I think I ran it by Pastor Luke before, but we're going to go ahead and give this a try. It's an important area that I think will expose a lot. In Arizona right now, it is currently against the law to kill your child via abortion. It's on the books. There's an ARS statute on this particular issue. It has never, ever been changed. Roe versus Wade didn't cause this to get removed from the books. It is standing law in Arizona. You cannot procure an abortion via mechanical tools, and you can't do it via medication. And so there's it actually currently on the books right now. The statute says that it carries a 2 to 5 year prison sentence. And so right now in Arizona, it's against the law to kill your child via abortion. However, we're doing it. And I think that goes to show really the perspective we have in our country right now in terms of states' rights and the constitutionality of a Supreme Court ruling. So we have been led to believe in this last generation that the Supreme Court's opinion forms law. That's actually contrary to what our Constitution says. It's Congress that makes law, that legislates, not the Supreme Court. And so we've believed that the Supreme Court opinion should create law that actually subverts the laws of the states. It doesn't. And so with that, we're going to go to the local abortion mill next week. We're going to contact the police department and we're going to advise them of the statute. And we're going to ask them to please enforce the statute because it's taking place right at this location. And so please be in prayer for us because we hope that that will create enough godly controversy, necessary controversy, to do one of two things. One, force pro-life legislators to do away with this law, take it off the books. Now, if they do that, it'll reveal a whole lot. Or, second thing it could do is it might actually cause the pro-life legislators to actually stand for justice and uphold that statute because it says everything that we'd like it to say for the moment. We would like some clarifications in there, which we think they could shape it a little bit better. But that's what we hope to do. And I discovered that through our connections to local churches across the country, that there are actually laws similar to this one in other states, and we have groups that are ready to follow us and do the same thing in their state. So that could force the discussion about the Supreme Court and their ruling, Roe versus Wade. Now, with that, I'm going to go ahead and have Zach introduce our guest.
All right. So today on Apologia Radio, we have Dr. Matthew Clark. He's with Personhood South Carolina. So he's intimately involved with the fight in South Carolina to end abortion. He's responsible for helping formulate the legislation that's currently going on right now. It has to do with the Personhood Act at Conception in South Carolina. Dr. Clark, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure to be with you guys with Apologia Radio. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, Dr. Clark, can you just tell us about the bill? I know its code is S-217. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's Senate Bill 217, and all of the effort now is currently in the Senate with this bill.
Okay. And that was a recent development, right? Can you tell us just a little bit about what recently happened with it?
Well, the big recent development, we've really been praising God since Tuesday. The big recent development was that it was safely passed out of the South Carolina Senate Judiciary Committee. Mm. And it's a recent development in that we were successful, praise God. And there's a lot of details I could tell you about the way the Lord moved in that meeting and moved in the hearts of elected officials.
Please do. Actually, I'd love to hear something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, well, just a little bit of background. While this is a recent development, this bill was introduced in 2017, January of 2017. And the way the South Carolina General Assembly works is they come together for 4 or 5 months in the odd year, so 17, then they're off for 6 or 8 months. I forget the exact detail. And they come together again in January of the following year to complete the bills that were begun the prior year. Mm. So it takes about 18 months to complete this session. And you know how it is in politics, bills can die through time just by not getting through the system. And so politicians love to avoid voting and killing bills through time. I'm sure you've seen that before.
Yes.
But no, just an example is there's one particular senator we've been engaging with this senator a lot over the last year. And don't really have a lot of common, don't have perfect common ground on what it means to be pro-life. And through talking and discussion and really just, civil dialogue, loving one another, God's grace granted for this particular senator to abstain in the vote. And that senator's vote could have killed the bill on the spot. And instead, the senator chose to abstain. And so we were very thankful for that. And certainly we want more. And we're not going to settle for anything less than complete commitment to ending the killing now. But we made strides with this senator. And we believe that God answered prayers. We believe God answered prayers to raise up local constituents in this senator's district. So a lot of things took place over the last year to get to that moment in that meeting on Tuesday, where this senator and anyone who'd been following this, reading our emails, following this knew, and we all looked right at that senator. And when the vote took place and that senator's hand stayed down, you knew that the senator had abstained. We knew we had passed out of judiciary and the bill was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this again, this is a personhood bill where, to give you your answer to your question about what is this bill all about, mm-hmm. personhood strategy is based on the theological concept that the image of God is placed in us from the earliest biological beginnings, which we all know is fertilization.
Yeah.
And from that moment forward, God is tenderly, personally, uniquely crafting us together in our mother's womb. And this image of God is endowed into each human being at the moment of fertilization. And this endowment by our Creator of this image of God is what our founders were referencing when they talked about this unalienable right to life, life being the first right. And this unalienable concept means that it cannot be separated from us because it's placed in us by God. It's not given to us by our government. It's not given to us by another human being. It is given to us by God. And our founders said very clearly it is to this end that governments are established, is to secure these rights, not to be the origin of these rights, not to be the source of these rights, but to secure these rights.
Right.
And so personhood says, look, the 14th Amendment, the 5th Amendment of our U.S. Constitution, and also in our statute points to the state of South Carolina's constitution that references person, that no person shall be deprived of due process or equal protection under the law. And so our statute is very simple. It defines person as beginning at fertilization, and that the right to life vests at fertilization. Mm. And this, by referencing our Constitution, by referencing the U.S. Constitution, would, if this bill is passed and if this bill is enforced by our governor, regardless of what happens in the federal courts, it will cause South Carolina law to apply to all human beings beginning at conception. Amen. So every law regarding human beings and how they're to be treated and statutes regarding that will become applicable at the moment of conception.
And, good, and wonderful.
Again, unfortunately, we have to define our terms because of the confusion in the world today. When we say conception, we mean fertilization.
Right,
right. And am I right, brother, that this specific bill, how it's written, actually references image of God?
It doesn't directly reference the image of God. It references the fact that we've been endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights.
Okay.
And we believe that the theological foundation for that sentence, that phrase, that notion amongst our founders is the image of God.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of moving forward and this thing, let's say by God's grace and in His power and providence, this thing passes and it gets established. What you're saying is, in terms of the implications of it, is that the human being in the womb from conception receives all of the status and protections of any human being.
Precisely.
Precisely. Okay. So in terms of if somebody attempts to violate this in the future, that child in the womb is afforded the same legal protection of any human.
Precisely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's left for us, brother? What do we need to do? What do we need to expect? How can we pray for this? What can we do to help?
Well, I am so pleased to be with you on your show. And, you know, I don't know if you've been through this before, Jeff, Zach, Luke, where you get through a hurdle and you're so thankful and you look back and you see all the sweat and the effort and the prayers and the work, and you praise God because you see it was all His mighty effort that made the difference, and that, you know, the things that matter the most, we can't change with our hands. We can't change with our words. We can't change with phone calls. The hearts of men must be changed by the King of Kings. That's for this right. to happen.
Yeah.
And so now here we are, and we come up and we look ahead to the next stage, and we realize that the hurdle that God in His wonderful providence has laid before us now is bigger than what we've already come through. Mm. So in the South Carolina Senate, let me give you the lay of the land. Our governor is 100% on board. Our lieutenant governor, 100% on board. Our attorney general, 100% on board.
All right.
Says, I will defend this if it is passed. Our governor, after it came out of judiciary on Tuesday, put out a press release on his own initiative from the governor's office, saying how pleased he was, applauding the Judiciary Committee and telling the Senate to pass this bill without delay because life must be protected. We must, I think the quote was, we must do all we can to protect life beginning at conception.
Right.
So we're getting strong support from our governor, and we're very thankful for this, and from our lieutenant governor as well. And so we praise God for that. And we have promises from House leadership, and the House is traditionally been much easier to pass these types of difficult bills in South Carolina. And we have promises from the leadership of the House that if we get it through the Senate, they're going to pass it in the House. And so we believe that if we get this bill through the Senate, we will be the first state to stand up and point our finger at the Supreme Court and say, you were dead wrong. And this is an intentional challenge to the Supreme Court. And what I want my brothers and sisters in Christ to know throughout the nation is that this is not just an effort for South Carolina. This is an effort that every Christian in the nation should feel fantastic about getting behind, because this absolutely has the potential to outlaw abortion, not just in South Carolina, but throughout the nation. If the Supreme Court rules, as we are claiming, that the 14th Amendment in its original meaning absolutely includes babies within the womb, then the potential exists for not only this ruling to stand in South Carolina, but for the Supreme Court to say Roe v. Wade was dead wrong, and babies in the womb cannot be murdered, and it could be enforced at a federal level. And so we see fantastic potential for this bill. Will it happen? Only God knows. You know, what did we expect when David ran with the five smooth stones, right? Mm-hmm. We have to run forward to the battle and trust and see what God will do, and stop trying to read the tea leaves and just do what is right. Mm-hmm. So having said all that, we are praying as hard now as we ever have, even after this huge victory. I mean, I could go into all the details, all the phone calls, all the resistance, all the work that's come to get us to where we are now. I mean, Richard Cash, I'm the executive director of Personhood South Carolina right now, but only because Richard Cash, the former executive director, was elected to the South Carolina State Senate. Well, his election to the Senate and then his subsequent placement on the Judiciary Committee is part of why we had the votes that we needed during that committee meeting on Tuesday. And, you know, again, not that I'm a Trump fan, but his election, he took Nikki Haley from the governor position and put her over in the UN. McMaster, our governor, was lieutenant governor. He became governor. Kevin Bryant became lieutenant governor. And as a result of that, that seat was vacant and Richard Cash was elected to the Senate. And so God is moving in many ways in South Carolina. And Governor McMaster at our personhood day, he stood up and he said, I believe that we're going to look back on this time. People are going to say, how in the world can they have ever thought that way? Just like we do now looking back with Dred Scott and Plessy versus Ferguson. But he was talking about historical movements. And he said he believes that South Carolina will be the vanguard of helping to create a proper notion regarding life in our nation and in our world. And we see that providence right now. But look, right now we're looking forward. And what we have to do right now is we have to get this bill off of the contested calendar. You might think, okay, this is going to make your head spin a little bit, but you know how politics is, they complicate things. But I'm going to give you the details, okay, Jeff?
Okay.
Any senator in the South Carolina Senate can contest a bill. And when they do that, the bill goes on to the contested calendar. So as soon as it came out of the committee, it was contested by the opponents of life, and it went on the contested calendar. The only way to get it off of the contested calendar is for special order to be granted to the bill. Otherwise, it will die on the contested calendar. That's what happened to our personhood amendment effort in 2016. It died on the contested calendar. It never came to the floor for debate. The Rules Committee is the easiest way to get this bill off the contested calendar and to the floor onto the regular calendar for debate. The Rules Committee chairman has sole authority to decide whether to bring the bill to the Rules Committee for a vote. If the Rules Committee votes and says, yes, give it special order, then it comes to the Senate floor as a motion from committee and requires a majority vote on the Senate floor. We believe we have those votes right now. We have 22 public commitments right now from South Carolina senators. 20 of those are co-sponsors. One of those is a Democrat. And we would need 23 votes on the floor to get that done. And we believe that we would probably get that vote in order to then get it to the floor for debate.
Okay.
But now here's the problem. If it comes to the floor for debate, it will be filibustered. And in order to get cloture, to stop the filibuster, we'll have to have 26 senators agree to stop the debate. So we don't just need 23 to pass this bill. The final vote, all we need is a majority. To get special order, all we need is a majority. Mm-hmm. But the big vote is that cloture vote where we need 26. And we could need less if there's senators who aren't present. It's 3/5 of those present and voting. So the Rules Committee chairman, Republican, supported the bill up to this point, voted for it in Judiciary, has said that he will not bring it to the Rules Committee for a vote. He will not bring personhood to the Rules Committee to try to get special order until we can prove to him that we have 26 votes from senators for cloture.
Okay.
So we're doing that. We're reaching out to senators, and we're discovering that there's this etiquette, there's this decorum thing in the South Carolina Senate where senators are reluctant to commit to cloture, even though we're saying, look, we're not asking you to end substantive debate. Let the debate go until you believe the substantive debate, until all the issues have been covered, and they're starting to just talk in order to kill time. They're just talking at that point to kill the bill with time. Will you vote in favor of cloture at that time? And we're getting a number of yes answers, but we're getting some hesitation. We're getting some no responses right now as well. And so we are at another Red Sea moment here in South Carolina, and we just feel the weight of the need for God to move and to open the door through the sea.
Yeah.
We know that it is not going to take place without a miracle of God to cause these senators to rise up and commit to cloture. to cause the senator who's in charge of making this decision to take a risk, even if he doesn't get the full 26 commitment on the front end, to take a risk in order to shake things up in Columbia and make the statement to South Carolina and to the world that it's worth fighting for human life. It is the chief end for the civil magistrate, and it is worth standing up and having a fight and making this floor of the Senate a messy place to be for a time to talk about what's really happening in our nation. And so we, you know, we're just falling down on our faces before God, brothers. We just know that this cannot, and that's what Person in South Carolina is all about. We want to see abortion end as much as anybody on this earth, but you know, we want more. You know, Jesus said, don't rejoice if the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Right, brothers?
Right. Right.
We want to see souls saved from hell. We want to see a widespread revival of the people of God in South Carolina. We want to see Christ come down in mighty power and raise up a revival that will leave its mark on the history books unlike has ever happened before.
Yeah.
Well, that is what we are crying out to God for in South Carolina, and that as a part of that wave of spiritual power unleashed by Christ from his throne, that we will see abortion ended. And so that's what we're crying out to God for. So how can you help? Brother, let's pray, man. We got to get people fasting. We got to get people putting aside their entertainment. We got to get people leaving aside whatever makes them comfortable, put the burrs in their shoes, put the spikes in their pants, so that constantly we are crying out to God to come down and end this. Mm. That's what we need, brother. That's what we need.
Praise God.
I was just going to say, I've seen some criticism of the bill. And so I think the question we all were kind of wondering, so if this bill is put into law, then does that immediately, by law, make abortion murder and illegal?
That is our absolute intent with this bill. Okay. And that is what we will expect to see our executive branch enforce.
Right? I would think yep. The obvious natural consequence, logical consequence, has to be
right.
Yeah,
I just wanted you to say that because I've seen people criticizing it. So I was like, well, let's just clear this up. Like, what actually happens when this is put into place?
Because brother, we're with you. We're obviously of kindred spirit. We're with you. This needs to be about people's souls. It needs to be about repentance, really national repentance, but we want to see revival in the church. The people of God want to see that our culture come to Christ, and we want to see consistent mm-hmm. legislation against abortion that just doesn't play around the edges of it. And I think that's precisely what you're doing here, mm-hmm. is that we've all recognized that much of what the pro-life movement has done in terms of really playing around the edges has just been just that, playing around the edges, not getting to the core issue, which this is. And what you have made note of is that we're talking about image of God here. We're talking about human being from conception, which we all know that has to be the fundamental baseline.
Right.
Image of God at the bottom. It's human and deserves all the rights and protections as each and every one of us. And so I'm so grateful for that. And this is such a big moment. I pray with all my heart that God would move in a mighty way and just move in the hearts of these legislators and bring them to a place of boldness to do what is right and to establish justice. And you know what, brother, I think it's awesome. It's happening in South Carolina.
We're very thankful. I'll tell you, there's a lot of end abortion now folks. Well, there's a big crowd. I don't know how many of end abortion folks over here in the state who have gotten on board and who are pumping out everything we say through their networks. And so it's been a good synergy
praise
over
God.
Here in
praise
South
God.
Carolina.
Awesome.
We've been
praise,
very thankful.
Praise God. I'm just so grateful. And you know, brother, I think one of the things, and you heard us mentioning it at the beginning of this broadcast, we mentioned that we need to create a godly controversy here locally to try to stir up the politicians that are here locally to move. I can tell you that, you know, I won't name names, but we have had for 2 years now consistent conversations and appointments not followed through on with legislators who have told us they're with us on this and they want to go ahead and establish justice and they want to make the bold moves, but it's never actually taken place. And we've, you know, fought. And so we need to give them a good godly nudge. And I think what people are afraid of, I don't know their motives and really their heart, but I think I'm right on this. What people are afraid of at the state level is, well, when we create state legislation that identifies image of God in the womb, humanity at conception, And if we criminalize abortion at the state level, we're just going to have to face the federal beast. And you know, they could take away funding. They could do this. They could do that. And here's the thing. So what? That might sound pithy and cavalier, but the truth is so what? If we actually believe what we say we believe, then we have to have the conviction and the courage to do what is right, no matter the consequences. Children are dying.
Yeah.
And we have to do the right thing.
Those are the statements of David's brothers. Yeah. You know, those are David's brothers. They thought he was foolish.
Yeah.
And then he became king.
That's right.
And so we have to have the eyes of faith. We have to pick up our five smooth stones, which is all we have. And, you know, we got a couple loaves, we got some fish, but you know what? That's the way God always works, y'all. Isn't that? I mean, that's how he always does it. Name me a spot in scripture where God said, look, let's wait until we're sure we have enough stuff together to have victory. It's stuff that we can see with our eyes. It's not there. It's right. Not how it works.
That's right.
People of God rise up and say, Jesus came back from the dead. The King of Kings is on his throne, and his mighty spirit is irresistible when he moves. And he is delighted when his people stand up and say, we have an audience of one, and he is the King of Kings, and he will come down in mighty glory if he so chooses, and you will never again doubt his power and his glory. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we're crying out for. And look, I want to say I feel the pain of the politicians in one regard. And, you know, we need men of principle with a spine to go in there and do what is right, regardless of what the crowd says. We all know that.
Yeah.
But the truth is, the silent church is complicit in this mess, because if the church would just pick up the phone and call their elected official once a day and say, stop killing babies in my state right now, or I will not vote for you at the next election. And they did that once a day, every day. And how long does that take? I mean, that's less time than it takes to check Facebook or whatever.
Right. No, I'm with you 100%, brother. I'm with you.
I mean, so the church's silence in this, shame on the church.
Yeah.
And may God wake us up and give us this crushing load in our spirit to know that our neighbors are being murdered.
That's
and
right.
Standing by quietly and doing nothing about it.
Absolutely.
Well, I like you a lot, brother.
Yes.
Well, brother, I have enjoyed listening to you. You've encouraged me many times as well, and I'm really thankful to connect with you. And I hope that by God's grace, we will be able to build one another up as we continue to work towards seeing the Lord come down and just bring a mighty revival across this nation and demonstrate to the whole world that there is no God but the living God of the Bible.
That's
amen.
Amen to that.
Right. All right, brother. So just last word here. Where can people get connected to you to be a part of what you're doing and to be able to get updated and be able to pray for all that's happening?
Listen, we need all kinds of help. The first thing is prayer. Come to personhood.sc, www.personhood.sc. Sign up for our email and we will keep you up to date. We send out daily prayer reminders. We send out frequent updates, letting you know exactly what's going on. We've got tonight at 8 p.m. We've got a Facebook Live where I'm going to be talking to folks. You can put questions into me and you can have some real-time interaction with our folks tonight. And anything you want to know about personhood, we'll answer all the questions we can. We would love to have national phone calls to our local elected officials. I mean, those phone calls show them so much. Call our governor and say thank you for your stance for life. Call all the South Carolina GOP senators and say thank you. Call our Rules Committee Chairman, Senator Shane Massey, and say, Senator Massey, we are behind you. If there's a controversy on the Senate floor, we will support you as a hero trying to save babies.
Yeah.
So these phone calls, these emails, you know, get folks focused here, because this isn't just for South Carolina. And of course, money. I mean, our 501c4, the more money we have, the more phone calls we can initiate in the various districts, the more mailers we can send out, the more we can get the message out to our elected officials and to voters in the state about what is going on and how we can end abortion in our state now. So, I mean, that's the big story. And what we need right now, I mean, it's a time critical thing. If we don't get it out of the Senate within the next couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be real hard for the House to have time to pass it. So we need this push now. We need these prayers now. We need these phone calls now. We need the financial assistance now. We're up next to the wall, man. So
yeah, I want to highlight something for you, brother. Just very important, especially to many of our loyal listeners that listen on a regular basis and are blessed by the content that God allows us to do here at Apologia Church through all these different mediums. I just want to say just one thing, and I want you to hear me on this. I don't in any way mean this in the sense of talking down to anybody, but I just want you to think about it, meditate on this. When you hear a brother like Dr. Clark saying what he said about the prayer, and then also he mentions financial support so we can get these things done, or you hear us at times mentioning we need financial support to do these things, I just got to say to you, do you understand that the beast, the monster we are trying to destroy is very well funded?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have lots and lots and lots of money to do what they're doing, and that's why they're so effective at it. You know, the Huffington Post, when HuffPo does stuff promoting abortion, you realize that they are funded by millions and millions of dollars. So they get to promote that content and pay for it to be seen by so many people. BuzzFeed, same thing. Mike, any of these liberal propaganda machines, Viceland, any of them, you know, they have millions of dollars behind them to promote their content. It's not that it's just so compelling that everyone in the world wants to watch it. It's being helped. There's a lot of money behind that. And so I just got to say this, we need your help. And so when Dr. Clark says financial assistance, I do want to encourage you, you know, you might hear that and say, well, I'm behind this all the way. And in your heart and your mind saying you're fully committed to this, but you know what? What actually puts flesh on that, brings it into the world, is when you actually make a phone call and make a donation so that actually he has the support that he needs to do what he's doing.
Sure.
I can't tell you how many times we've sat here in the studio, we've dreamt of things and had ideas and then said, that is fantastic, that'll change the world, but we don't have the funding for that. We couldn't possibly do it. So what, you just one example, and I hope this encourages you to make a donation to offer some help in South Carolina. End abortion now. We had all these ideas. I had this whole plan in my mind about a year before we actually launched it. And we actually sat on it, and it just sort of was in the back of our minds as, well, maybe someday God will make that happen. And we just get a random phone call about a year later from a person never talked to in my life that said, hey, the Lord led me to call you. I've got a big heart for this. What is it you want to do right now? I said, well, I already know. He said, well, how much, if I was to ask you, how much would that cost? What do you need some time to think about it? I said, no, I already know. We already have the plan. We just can't do it. And so I told him, and then that's how we got the funding. So everything you see happening right now, but through our particular ministry, is because somebody called and helped us.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's it. So as Dr. Clark tells you, the financial support and all that's happening there, make phone calls, to do mailers and everything, you understand that this is a grassroots movement and we need everybody involved, and it takes time and it takes money to make that happen. I wish it was free. I wish it was free. it's just not.
Go ahead. Brother, I really appreciate your words. And if you can I tag on to that a little bit?
Oh, please do, yes.
Yeah. No donation is too small. That's a big key point. And the idea is that this grassroots idea, another one of my favorite scriptures is about how when Christ moves, his willing people in Psalm 110 are like dew, right? And we see that dew forming all over, and each little drop finally comes together to form this flood of activity. And so every prayer, every phone call, every bit of assistance, God brings it all together to make this huge, powerful thing. And so I think one of the things that gets in the way of people engaging is thinking that their effort doesn't matter. Well, that is such a lie. Everyone needs to understand that their contribution to the kingdom of God, whatever it is, if it may seem so small to them, it is not small. Every act of faith that we do towards God is a way that we express our love to him. The angels of heaven see it and they rejoice. And we have to just see that when we follow God and do his will, he is pleased, and it just brings blessing to all those around us.
Yeah.
So whether it's about prayer or phone calls or money, it doesn't matter. The point is, you cannot sit there and do nothing.
Yes.
That's not an option.
That's right.
Right.
That's
absolutely
right. Yeah, I'm going to say one final word here, and then we're going to let Dr. Clark go. Many of us who are thinking about this in Christian terms, who don't want to be neutral, who want to stand on the word of God and make this about the gospel, as Dr. Clark said, we want people's souls dealt with and people saved, the church experiencing revival. Many of us who share that perspective are very much opposed to the failures of 40 years of incremental legislation when we play around the edges of the issue of abortion. And so I just want to point you to the fact that this isn't that kind of incremental legislation, because there's questions. People say, well, what do we do when it's actually established? How do we turn the corner in terms of when it happens? Here's what we're saying. That's a discussion that needs to be had. But this is fundamental, foundational stuff. This is image of God, human at conception. That's what we all are asking God for. Not the 20 week bans. This isn't a heartbeat bill. Mm-hmm. This isn't something that talks about, you know, putting pain capable, putting the child to sleep before you kill it. This is not that kind of incremental legislation. Let's make wider hallways and abortion facilities and let's make it cleaner. This is, you have to say, without argument, this is the kind of foundational, non-incremental legislation we're talking about in terms of image of God in the womb. Protection of life, full protection, rights, privileges, all at conception. That's what we all want. And so, yes, there's other discussions to be had, like what is a just penalty for someone that does this? Mm-hmm. Of course, but that's turning the corner, but that's not incremental legislation. This is like the fundamental thing. This is the whole thing, human at conception, full protection. Under law. And so thank you, doctor, for everything that you're doing, brother. And we'd love to stay connected with you and get some updates so we know how to pray and how to help you.
We will. I'm going to communicate with you all offline when we're done, and we're going to make sure that we stay connected, my friend.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, brother.
I don't know if you have time, but could you pray before we get done? That's kind of one of my hard and fast rules.
Yeah. Oh, let's do it right now, especially with the audience who's going to be listening to this. Father, we just pray right now for all that is happening right in South Carolina. Lord, you know, it's, Lord, your providence that has carried us here. Lord, we know your word and what it says about us, all of us. And we know, Lord, that you say in Romans chapter 3 that there's none righteous, no, not one, that our feet are swift to shed blood. And God, we know that's the source and foundation of all that's around us and that's broken. And so, God, we ask, Lord, for you to, Lord, move. God, for the glory of Jesus and for justice. And we pray that you would do it, of course, across this whole nation. But God, right now, we specifically lift up South Carolina to you. We do pray that you'd open the hearts of the legislators, that you would give them boldness, that you would give them a fearlessness to do what is glorifying to you, God. We pray that, Lord, the gospel would be prevalent throughout all of these conversations and everything that happens there, that it would be about repentance, that it would be about justice, that it would be about, Lord, your word and your glory. And we do pray, God, that you would destroy, Lord, the works of the enemy in South Carolina. Put them under your feet. Jesus, Lord, you are putting your enemies under your feet. And so we ask for this enemy to be placed there. And we ask, Lord, that you would give our brothers and sisters in Christ that are laboring for this strength and encouragement and perfect peace, Lord. Trust in your full sovereignty and kingship, and we pray that you would bless and be glorified, God. We're your people, God, pleading for mercy, Lord, your mercy upon us. Lord, there is a righteous remnant in your nation that are pleading for justice and your face to be seen in all of this. And so please, Lord, act. Lord, not because we deserve it, but for your name's sake, God, please rise up and act. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right, brother. So thank you so much for joining us today. Everybody, I will just say as we finish up the show today, we're going to go ahead and give you a bonus. We had some very special guests in the studio with us a few moments ago, just took off. And so we're going to take the audio from that after show that we did with them, and we're going to place it into this episode just as a bonus for you guys so you can get a taste of Rebecca Merkel, Ben Merkel, from New St. Andrews. Love for you guys to hear this conversation just about femininity and womanhood, motherhood, being a wife. And I just want to say, and I said it in the episode, what we believe about women with God's word is so much better than the culture has now. They got nothing on Jesus.
No,
nothing. So we're grateful for you guys. Please share this episode. There's another thing you can do besides financial support. You know what you can do? Share this episode across your social media. Let the world know about what's happening in South Carolina. If you don't, nobody knows. So let the world know. Be a part of our team, really, worldwide, as we focus in upon this issue of the culture of death and preach the word of God into it. Exalt Christ, all for his glory, guys. So thank you guys very much. Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
Zach Attack.
See you guys.
I'm Jeff the Coleman the Ninja. Marcus King Ginger on the ones and twos. Thank you guys very, very much.
This is my last episode as a single man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Marcus, gonna get married. So. Very excited. Marcus, congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, guys. God bless you guys. Catch you guys next time.
is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. David Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house. Not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Apologia After Show. I want to first say thank you to all of you who are watching this right now. If you're watching it, it's because you are a partner with Apologia Church. You make everything we do possible, so thank you very, very much for that. So we're going to continue the conversation right now. We finished up the television show talking, obviously, doing an analysis and an internal critique of the current cultural position on women and where it goes, taking a couple different angles. Now let's talk about now what is the beautiful thing? What's the thing we should all be aiming for and actually moving towards and promoting and cultivating now? So motherhood, yeah. Being a wife, being a woman.
Well, I think one of the things to realize is just you have to spend some time to realize how much scope there is here. I think women when they want to sort of kind of give themselves to the domestic arts, they feel trapped in this kind of like, I'm trying to achieve a 1950s housewife ideal. Mm-hmm. And that's just not it. I mean, that's got all of its own problems as well. I think Beck actually walks through some of that in Eve in Exile. And so you want to set all that aside and stop and look at the scope that you have. I don't know, maybe you could just kind of walk through some of the areas that women have the opportunity to glorify and what that would look like.
Well, I think some of that I think there's a lot of room for creativity and we don't know yet. I mean, there's so much scope. It's like women need to get in there and start actually doing this. I think the 1950s, because it was sort of the last time we had a cultural expectation of an intact family, that's kind of held up as the like last mm-hmm. benchmark. Mm-hmm. And I think often we are very, I don't know, I don't think we're fair to the 50s because we don't see what they were coming out of. Because it's like even your mom grew up having to haul water from the creek in a bucket, you know. So it's sort of like for the moment, it was like all the new appliances and having a kitchen that functioned and being able to use your refrigerator to make a Jell-O, you know, like whatever. Right. They were still kind of in the excitement of modern progress. Mm. But it didn't take long for them to get extremely bored with it. And I think it's because what had been initially a huge calling to feed your family was a massive endeavor. If you're hauling water from the creek in a bucket or having to grow your food, you know, outside. I mean, this is a massive thing. And then suddenly it became very easy for women. And I think they got it was initially exciting and you can see why, but then they just kind of got bored and all wanted to go get jobs. And I think rather than taking the privilege that they had been given of a much easier lifestyle and then saying, how can we turn a profit with this? Like, now that we don't have to work all year long just to put food on the table, what could we do with it? They just got tired of it and said, get me out of here. I'm, you know,
so you
feeling
have, you
ignored.
Have to realize that suddenly, actually, we have this tremendous cultural capital with technology yeah. and everything we've been given. We have it easier than ever before. So here's the gift God's given you. And when God gives you a gift, there's an expectation that you turn a profit.
Yeah,
on that.
Turn more of a profit. Because I think if you keep the expectation there, and suddenly that's all stuff you can accomplish by 10 in the morning, well, yeah, like raise the bar, you know, what are you going to do with all this stuff God has given you? And I think we know where God has put women's calling. You know, if you have a family, that's where it is. You know, you take care of your children and your husband and be centered on the home, but there's so much scope there. I think, but women haven't really given it much of a shot, honestly. There's a lot of leisure time, you know, that we fill up the empty hours with. And you just think, what would women of an earlier generation have been able to accomplish with that work ethic, with what we have?
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. So Nate came to ReformCon a couple years ago, two, three years ago. And one of my favorite things, and I think that it really impacted so many people, so many of the women in our church, just how he talked about motherhood. And he dissed really the cultural perspective of, oh, you're just a mom.
Yeah. Right.
I loved his talk. Oh, you're just raising heroes.
Yeah. Just immortal souls.
Just immortal souls.
That I have at home.
Yeah, just giants of the faith. Right. So talk about that. I mean, just let's blow up the caricature people paint of how Christians view women, and let's talk about just that, the majesty of motherhood.
Oh,
I'm deflecting that one.
Yeah, I think that if you have children, it is very easy to get bogged down in all of the details, because you are going to have so many things, just real physical, trivial problems you have to deal with all day long. And so it's easy to like feel like that's it. I'm just surrounded by dirty diapers. I just have to, you know, clean up more spills. Is this it? Is this the end of the, you know, this is my whole career package right
managing
here.
Managing sin.
Is low-level maintenance.
Yes.
Yes, managing sin, exactly. But the thing is, if you think about what you've got, it's like this is a little, I think my grandma told my mom one time, like, you have a little Bible school there at home. You know, it's like you've got these people enrolled in your school, you know, and they are immortal souls. All the other stuff you're going to throw yourself at, whether, you know, whatever your career is, that's all going to be gone. Like, everything that you spend your time on is going to be gone. If you're a banker or, you know, whatever, it's just going to go away. But those children aren't. That's the only thing that is immortal. And it's going to last forever, one way or the other. So the time you pour into them is time that's not wasted.
And I think one of the things that, and this is where the femininity really comes on, becomes important, is that if you think about what are the things that anchor you? What are the things that create loyalty? What are the things that like that make something powerful? It's not, you need the hard lines, you need the logic, but it's the delight. It's the like when something thrills you, when something, you know, like there are smells that when you hit that smell, it takes you to a place and a moment and a time, and there are all these associations to the smell. Or
for motherhood, it's good and bad.
All kinds of smells.
But I do think that like as a wife and a mom, and I think this is true as a single woman as well. You have the ability to cultivate the delights of the world. You have the ability to set the table, to set the stage, to how much does a Thanksgiving dinner anchor you to loyalty to a family? How much does, you know, Sunday afternoon lunch, or you've got all these kind of cultural moments. Christmas morning, if you grew up in a family that made a thing of it and really pursued it, Christmas morning has this kind of magical feel that just always hangs on to you.
Yeah.
And I want my kids, as they grow up, to know that a faithful home wasn't just like logically and doctrinally consistent. Obviously, that's the foundation that you need, but that it was this place that was like, why would you ever want to walk away from that? Like, that was the place that captivated me, and that was the place where all of my loyalties are. And, you know, if you said something about my mom, I'm going to deck you because of all those sandwiches, of all of those, you know, all those things that cultivated my loyalty. We do things like NSA, we have the freshmen over for every Tuesday night, the soup night. So Becca puts on a big thing of soup, makes homemade bread, and then there's this huge bowl of honey butter. It's just butter and honey mixed together.
It's magical, though.
But for some reason, it's like they've just entered into nirvana when they get
well,
a little bit of honey butter.
It's basically the promised land. It's, you know,
that's right.
Milk and honey.
Milk and honey flowing right out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have them over, and it's funny how quickly that becomes like that is the highlight of their time. It's like the one thing that they wouldn't miss. And it's there's fellowship, there's camaraderie, there's all of that. But it's also food. And when you're a freshman in college, like free dinner is kind of a big deal.
Right.
So I think thinking about all the different ways of creating that aesthetic experience that creates the delight and the pleasure that anchors you to this place.
And the woman is the one who can either make that happen or can cause all the resentments because it didn't. You know, like she's the one that is the doorkeeper basically for those things. And you're trying to, you want your kids to grow up loving what you love, you know, and how can you do that unless you make it lovely? And you can't get it by hammering them over the head with your doctrine. You have to make it lovely. You have to make them want it. And that's the whole point, is you're trying to cement their loyalties. And you do that through very physical means, or you can make it really unlovely through very physical means by griping and complaining and fine, have your stupid casserole and nobody ever thanks me anyways. You know, like you can be that kind of a mother, or you can be the kind of mother who they want to come home for dinner because, you know, this is where they see the beauty of holiness. And that's the whole thing, is you can't just give them a test on holiness. You have to make it lovely for them. And that's, we live in a physical world, so you have to do it through physical means. And you can have a schlumpy house that the lights are off and everybody's kind of grumpy and nobody's laundry is done. Or you can have the home be a delightful place, you know, full of joy. And it's not just attitudes. It also comes down to physical comforts making things beautiful.
And you don't want to be snobbish about it. It's not about like you have to have the most expensive or whatever. It's just, do you pour yourself into it?
But even there, I think oftentimes people who are, you can use the beautiful home as a club to hit your kids with, right? You really can. Like, why are you walking on that carpet with your shoes? Get off the couch. You're messing up the throw pillow. You know, you can have it be like that, or you can have it be hospitable for them. And I think that's the people you should be showing hospitality to first and foremost are the people that are in your home all the time. And so you want to use your home to bless them. And everybody knows that you can use a dirty home to make everything miserable, or a clean home to make everything miserable. You can use the beauty to hit them with, you know, hit them over the head with, or you can use the beauty to make them love it.
Mm. So I have one more question, and I think this would be important too. We had Dr. Boot here this week, and one of the clips we played when he was on the show was in an interview. He was in Canada on this major news broadcast, and he was having a debate, and he was discussing sexuality with somebody who was advocating for homosexuality with a homosexual on the show. Mm-hmm. And it was just a powerful thing that I think that we should definitely address when we talk about the role of women and what makes the Christian worldview so amazing. And it was just to this point, Dr. Boot said, he said, in the Christian worldview, you don't have to have a sexual relationship to be fully human and to be fully in your role, right?
Right.
So in terms of, so we're talking a lot about mothers and wives, but in terms of femininity, being a woman, right, not having to be in a sexual relationship to be, you're really fulfilling your role. Because I think that's destructive. It's damaging.
You know, I think that's a really, really important qualification to make, because you can create this sense where it's like, you describe femininity in such a way where, like, you're not actually feminine if you're not married and having babies.
Right.
And that's, I think that's really a problem to give that impression. So, but I do think that femininity can still manifest itself as a single woman. A friend of mine once pointed out, you know, made the comparison where, you know, God brings the Israelites out of Egypt to give them the promised land. And it's a really interesting moment when God takes all this time in Scripture to see how each tribe is given their a portion of land. Everybody is designated, you get this land, you get this land, you get this land, until you get to the Levites, who don't get land. And it's funny that the priests of the whole nation are the ones who don't get the land. And then, but it says that the Lord is their portion. You know, everybody gets a portion of land, and then he says, but you, the Lord, is your portion. And my friend was making the comparison. He says, look, if you're single, the Lord is your portion. And you still have all of these attributes, but you have them before God, and the Lord is your portion. And you have, I think, women, and particularly single women, have an ability to give to the church and to adorn the church in incredible ways. I think we see so many things happen in our community because of single women sacrificing their time to adorn the community, right, and to make it beautiful. So I don't think any of this falls away if somebody's not in a marriage having babies.
And if you say the Lord is your portion, that's not like, darn, guess you got the second prize.
Right. I mean,
right, that's not, right, Levi, that's not a
Levites
downgrade.
Weren't second place.
Right. That's,
and there is a time in the resurrection where these things fall away. So it's not like these are the permanent things. Mm-hmm. It's your obedience, your the way you lay yourself out. Those are the things.
But I think it does take an extra measure of creativity, because it's not just built in right in front of you. Like, if here's the kids, then, well, there's the kids. We all know who you should be focusing on. I think it takes an additional step of creativity for the single woman, but luckily, I think that's what women are good at, mm-hmm, you know, is, mm-hmm, is like actually using their gifts and
building
being creative.
Things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
That's good.
So, did you have some last word you wanted to say there?
Yeah, I know we're low on time. I was just practically speaking. So I call this the homeschool mom syndrome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our wives struggle with this. We're at Apology at Church. We predominantly homeschool our kids. So this syndrome essentially is the mom feels trapped. They feel like they can't get out, you know, like just like they're oppressed. Mm-hmm. So practically speaking, I was just going to ask you, what is some advice you could give to moms that are in that situation that are feeling that way?
So we homeschooled for 3 years while we were living in England. So I have a little bit of experience with that. and I think obviously I'm not going to say never get out. That's the solution. I don't mean that, but right. I think the biggest thing is getting your heart there, because you can convince yourself that you're trapped in a way that then you just feel like you are no matter what. And sure, sometimes you need to go out and take a deep breath outside or something, you know, mm-hmm, like get out and see the grocery store. I don't know. Get out and, you know, like have a minute where you're not in the house, whatever. But I do think that there's a way of slipping into a self-pitying attitude, which then everything is going to feed into it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it doesn't matter. All the data is going to then line up with your particular feeling that you're being oppressed and put upon. Mm. And sometimes it's like, you know, we should maybe get out more and see that there's people in the world with real problems, because, you know, it's like you've got a house, you've got kids, you've got this huge calling. This is something that you should just be thrilled with. You know, and so it's not to say that you shouldn't ever get out or whatever, but I just mean, I think a lot of times that attitude is the biggest thing that's going to sink you. Yeah. And so.
Awesome. Yeah. So Get Eve in Exile. It's amazing. The women at Apologia Church love it. So Eve in Exile, they can get it at Canon Press or on Amazon.
Amazon, yeah.
And get connected, if you would, with nsa.edu. If you guys want to get connected to an amazing school, you guys can get connected through nsa.edu. That's right,
yep.
Correct? Okay,
that's
good.
Right.
And so that's it for today. Thank you guys for coming
Thanks
in.
Thanks for having us.
Amazing. Thanks. Wonderful. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for blessing us with your partnership. We'll catch you guys next time on Apologia Academy. TV. After show.
After show.
One of those things. You'll see us again. Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself?
You can say Joy.
I don't.
You
can
cut
this is so for church, though. About.
Yeah.
But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at, like Jeff said, it's Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address is 1805 East Elliott Road, number 112, Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.